I thought that was good. The prayer of Solomon, and the subject for tonight is how the glory of God is shown through the power of prayer. How many of you are interested in seeing the glory of God? That, if we can get into His glory, that is a life-changing event. If you've ever experienced the presence of God, and I'm not talking about, just we know God's here tonight. He promised where two or three are gathered in His name, He'd be in the midst. It's one thing to be in the midst of God and in the presence of God, but it's altogether different to get in the glory of God. When God manifests Himself in power and His presence gets so big that He shines so bright that it overshadows and overcomes where you are and who you are, and it becomes all about Him, and it's indescribable to get into the glory of God. And prayer is an avenue to get there. Almost every hand went up this evening when I said, who's interested in getting into the glory of God and seeing the glory of God? We would all say yes to that. So the question is, how do we get there? If we, in today's time, used to, if you wanted to go somewhere that you didn't know how to get there, you'd get a map out and you'd search the map and look it over, and now we'll just punch in an address on our phone, and Google or whatever will take you there. Or if you're blessed as I am and have Roy as a father-in-law, you can just call him and he'll tell you every back road to get to anywhere. I think he probably knows more than Google does on that. But prayer is the directions to get to the glory of God. And Solomon demonstrates that. And before we get in to chapter 7, which is chapter 7, verse 1 through 3 and 4, is where we'll look mainly. But as I was studying and reading this today, Lord nudged my heart to go back. And anytime you look at the Scripture and you're reading a portion of Scripture, it's always good to go back a little bit and then jump ahead a little bit and see what's leading up to and what's following after. And this was just so good. It's dealing with prayer as well in chapter 6. And so I'm going to go back and just read a few verses, especially considering the state of our country, the state of our churches, and sadly and truthfully, the state of most Christians. And without pointing the finger way out there toward Washington, I'll point the finger at myself and to you and say we could all glean something and gain something from these verses. And so, matter of fact, it's perfectly within the context. This is leading right into how to get into the glory of God and see the glory of God, experience the glory of God. We'll never do that until, first of all, we see this truth that's found in chapter 6. Look at chapter 6. We'll start verse 31. That they may fear thee to walk in thy ways, so long as they live in the land which thou gavest unto our fathers. Moreover, concerning the stranger which is not of thy people Israel, but is come from a far country, for thy great name's sake, and thy mighty hand, and thy stretched out arm, if they come and pray in this house, then hear thou from the heavens, even from thy dwelling place, and do according to all that the stranger calleth to thee for, that all people of the earth may know thy name and fear thee, as doth the people of the people Israel, and may know that this house which I have built is called by thy name. I'm going to pause right there and say something. You know the context here. This is dealing with Solomon has built the house of God, and he's praying, to God concerning the house. And he said, even the strangers, if they come to this land and they come to the house that I have built in the name of the Lord, the house of God, let their prayers be answered, that they know that the God of heaven is real and that He's powerful and that He can help even the stranger, even those that are foreign. And what an encouragement to us, and at the same time, it should be a challenge and a charge to us as the people of God. We're sitting in the house of God. And I know many of you gave money and tithed and gave your own strength and energy and effort to help make sure that this sanctuary and this house of God was built. But ultimately, God built this house. God built this sanctuary. God built this church. And if it ever gets away from us knowing and understanding fully that this is God's house, this is not my house, this is not your house, this is God's house. And the bigger point being, Solomon's praying that the stranger, those that are not of this house, those that are not like he was, that the stranger could come and it be such a house and be such a place of power and a place of glory that they could come and see the salvation of the Lord and see the presence and the power of God at the house of God. My point being, all that Packlet could know and ride by this place, strangers to it though they may be, and know that the glory of God rests here. That this truly is not just another church on the side of the road, not just another pretty building, but this is the house of God. This is a place where the glory of God rests. And this is a place where the God of heaven hears and answers prayer. Amen. That ought to be our prayer. And then hear from the heavens, even from thy dwelling place, and do according to all that the stranger calleth to thee for, that all people of the earth may know thy name and fear thee, as doth the people Israel, and may know that this house which I have built is called by thy name. If thy people go out to war against their enemies by the way that thou shalt send them, and they pray unto thee toward the city which thou hast chosen, and the house which I have built for thy name, then hear thou from the heavens their prayer and their supplication, and maintain their cause. If they listen, here's what I wanted to deal with before we get to the glory of God, because this is what I have to deal with, and this is what you will have to deal with before you or I will ever experience the glory of God. If they sin against thee, for there is no man which sinneth not. That just included every one of us. The Bible said there is no man that sinneth not. So if they sin against thee, for there is no man which sinneth not, and thou be angry with them, and deliver them over before their enemies, and they carry them away captives unto a land far off or near. Yet if they bethink themselves in the land whither they're thou carried captive, and turn and pray unto thee in the land of their captivity, saying, we have sinned, we have done amiss, and have dealt wickedly. If they return to thee with all their heart and with all their soul in the land of their captivity, whither they have carried them captives, and pray toward their land which thou gavest unto their fathers, and toward the city which thou hast chosen, and toward the house which I have built for thy name. Do you notice the progression there? They sinned, they done amiss, they done wickedly, and God got angry with sin, and He still does today. And God turned them over to give them captive and sent them to a far land and let them be taken into bondage. And the Bible says if they get there and they bethink themselves and they come to themselves and remember the goodness of God and remember that the God that they serve and realize and understand that they have erred in their living and strayed from God and sinned against God. And notice the word that the Bible used before they prayed. The Bible said, and turn. Verse 37. And be carried captive and turn and pray unto thee. You see that? Don't miss that word. It is not enough. We'll never see the glory of God. We'll never experience the power of God if all we do is pray. This is prayer meeting. This is Wednesday night prayer meeting. We've been going for months on end dealing with the people of prayer and studying prayer, how to pray and when to pray and where to pray and all about prayer. And I hope after all these months and all these Wednesday nights, Brother Jackie teaching and preaching and myself doing the same, I hope that we have gleaned and learned something and elevated our prayer life. But just simply praying will never accomplish anything if we skip that word, turn. Here's another verse to put it in context that you'll know very well. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and turn from their wicked ways. My point is, praying is pointless if we are not willing to repent. That word turn is simply repentance. Repentance is a military term. It just means I'm going this way and I do an about face 180. I turn. Praying, and this is how most people pray today, and this is why most prayer lives are powerless and pointless. We pray because we know it's the right thing to do. But we want to pray without turning and turning loose of our sin. That's where the Bible says if we regard iniquity, if we hold it and want to have it, and we don't want to turn loose of it, we don't want to turn from it, you can pray all day. You can pray all night. And it's not going to accomplish anything. We'll never get to the destination that we're wanting to get to. What I started the service by asking, raise your hand if you're interested in experiencing the glory of God. Not just the run-of-the-mill service, Brother Jackie. Not just another average Joe Blow service, but something above and beyond. Something that's powerful. Something where the heavens will rend and God comes down in our midst and saves sinners and stirs the people of God and moves in mighty power and magnifies Himself. And we get into His glory. We don't get there without turning. Turning loose of sin, turning loose of self, and turning to Him. Then praying. Amen. I didn't plan on dealing with this tonight, but we have to. Because it's absolutely pointless to jump to the glory of God and us shout and say, hallelujah, we want to get in the glory and we want to see the glory and woo, won't that be glorious and wonderful and we want to see the power of God if we're not willing to do what God said to get it. Amen. How many of you rode by a dealership lately and see one of them brand new, I'm starting to covet, one of them brand new $100,000 Ford F-150s, crew cab, four-wheel drive, diesel, just bad to the bone. Or Toyota, Chevy, or whatever you like. But just, I mean, man, they look so good and so new and so good. You just want it. I've been doing that for a long time, but guess what? It's still sitting in their yard, not mine. You know why? Because I ain't been willing to turn loose of what it takes to get it. I can say I want it, and I can desire it, and I can ride by and look at it, and ooh and ah, but it ain't never going to carry me one blessed mile till I'm willing to turn loose of what it takes to get it. And that's how we are with the glory of God and the power of God. We want it, and oh, it looks so good. But until we're willing to turn loose of what God says we must turn loose of and turn to what He says we must turn to get it, we'll keep riding by and coming by the church house in our Pinto and riding home in the same Pinto. When the reality is God wants us to ride in that brand new truck. God wants us to have leather seats and four-wheel drive and smell the diesel and hear... And I'm talking about spiritually speaking. God wants us to have the best. God wants us to have the glory. God, and you know what? Not just so we can have the joy of doing it. And He wants us to have the joy of riding in the best. And I'm talking about spiritually. He wants us to have the best, the very best. But you know what is on top of that? When we're riding in it and we've paid the price and we've turned loose of the money to get it and to gain it and to have it and to own it, and we're riding down the road and we're going through Packlet, guess what? Most people don't turn their head to see our Pinto. But all the people, the strangers out there, will be attracted to that powerful, beautiful, bright, shiny object that's full of power. And so it will be with Christian people who's been in His glory. Amen. And turn and pray unto thee in the land of their captivity, saying, we have sinned, we have done amiss, we have dealt wickedly. If they return to thee with all their heart and with all their soul in the land of their captivity, whither they have carried them captives, and pray toward their land which thou gavest unto the fathers, and toward the city which thou hast chosen, and toward the house which I have built for thy name. Then, listen, then hear thou from the heavens, even from thy dwelling place, their prayer and their supplications, and maintain their cause, and forgive thy people which have sinned against thee. Now, my God, let, I beseech thee, thine eyes be open, and let thine ears be attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. Notice the order of those verses. He didn't say, hear their prayer. He didn't say, answer their prayer. He didn't say, be attentive to their prayer until they got honest and humble and said, we have sinned. We're turning from our sin. We're admitting to our sin. We're agreeing with you that it is sin and that I was guilty of it. And when they do that, the Bible says, then God will hear and heal and help. Amen. I know this is redundant. I know we've heard this so many times. We've heard 2 Chronicles 7:14 so many times until we're blue in the face. Matter of fact, we're in 2 Chronicles 7. Verse 14 is just right there on the next page. And this is almost verbatim, the same progression that 2 Chronicles 7:14. And we've heard that so many times. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then... I used to preach a message, Brother Ned, on what's between if and then. And there's a lot. Morningstar Baptist Church has heard enough preaching before I ever got here. Enough Bible preaching that we know what's right. We know right from wrong. We know what it takes. It ain't a matter of knowing. It ain't a matter of knowledge. It's a matter of wisdom. Knowledge is having the information in our head. Wisdom is putting that information into practice. Amen. And so again, I ask the question, how, understanding we cannot experience the glory of God, even by praying for it, if we don't turn and repent of our sin. Any message that subtracts that portion out of it is a cheapened message that is not worth listening to. And to be honest, it's a waste of time and worthless. Amen. So don't be mad at me. That's just the Bible. I mean, we just walked right through the scripture. It's the Bible. Now therefore arise, O Lord God, into thy resting place and the ark of thy strength. Let thy priest, O Lord God, be clothed with salvation, and let thy saints rejoice in goodness. I hesitate to go here and say this, but I'm a pastor. I'm the pastor of this church, and I'm telling you, please hear me. This is the cream of the crop who's here tonight. You're here on Wednesday night. I didn't have to call and beg, plead, bargain to get you here. You came here because you wanted to be in church and serve the Lord. But let me tell you something. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm not trying to depress you. But the devil is as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And that ain't just a verse in the Bible. That is happening at Morningstar Baptist Church. And as your pastor, I'm telling you, the devil has a bullseye on the families in this church, and he is doing his dead level best to wreck and ruin people that we love, people that you never would have dreamed. And they are teetering right now. I'm talking about marriages. I'm talking about people who are the devil's trying to push out of this church. And if we don't get serious with God, if we don't get serious with God and get willing to turn from some of our sin and to press through and to pray in power and beseech the throne of God and as the verse said, listen, that the saints could rejoice. Listen, most of our people in this church are not rejoicing. Most of them are hanging on for dear life. And it's all linked to a lack of power in our prayer life. Let me ask you this. It ain't just two families, by the way. There's two families that are literally hanging off the cliff, about to slide on out. But there's several families that are close. Are you hearing me? I'm not making this up. I'm not trying to be dramatic. I'm telling you the God's honest truth. And this is my question to you and to me. Do we care? Because if we do, it ought to matter to us. When I make an announcement like that and I come public, which I rarely do, and I come public and let you know that we have people, daddies and mamas and husbands and wives and families with precious children, that the devil is pushing with all his power, trying to push them out of here. That ought to raise alarm bells to the ceiling. That ought to be like, I mean, that ought to grab our attention and say, oh God, search me, Lord, is my prayer. Because this is what it boils down to. And this is how I'm going to ask it. And I want you to take it as serious as you can take it. If your prayer life was what it was counting on to reel them back in, would it be enough to do it? You say, but preacher, surely whether they get out or stay in ain't dependent on my prayer life. I say, surely it may very well. It ain't, Brother Jackie, you the assistant pastor, it ain't just your prayers that's affecting people and that's going to pull them back in or make the difference. It ain't just me as the pastor. It ain't just my prayer. It's the prayers of the people here. These people need to get into the glory of God, and if we're not willing to turn from some things and let loose of some things so that we can have the power of God, so that the God of heaven can overwhelm the devil and the lies from hell and bring them people and draw them people back in, they could be gone. And you can say, And in my carnal thoughts and attitudes, I thought, well, good night. How immature. I mean, what's got them on the outs? They know better. But you know what? You know what the truth is? When people are at a weak point in their life, it don't matter the reason. What should matter is that ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself. Because, trust me, it may be them today, but it may be you tomorrow. It may be me tomorrow. And under heaven, we need a church that's more interested in just coming to church and putting on a show and checking off a list. We need a church that has the power and presence of God where people can come in when they're down and out and barely hanging on. They can get into the glory of God. Amen. Amen. Listen, that is not pointed at you. That is to every one of us. I did not come to say any of that, but the Lord knew He wanted it said to me and to you. Now therefore arise, O Lord God, into thy resting place, thou and the ark of thy strength. Let thy priest, O Lord God, be clothed with salvation, and let thy saints rejoice in goodness. O Lord God, turn not away the face of thine anointed. Remember the mercies of David thy servant. All right, in about 8 minutes. That was the message for the hour. I could quit right now and we could get in the altar and pray. But I want to give you a little bit about verses. Let's look at verse 1 of chapter 7. Now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. I'd say he done some sure enough praying. Some serious praying. Not, now I lay me down to sleep. Not, God is great, God is good. Not even probably the normal prayer that he prayed every day that like we do. And I'm not knocking our everyday prayer life. It ain't going to be every day that you get in the glory. But it should be some days we get in the glory in our prayer life. And this was one of them days for Solomon. He prayed, and when he made an end of his praying, God rained fire down from heaven. You say, well, that can't happen. I mean, that's Old Testament. I mean, God don't do that no more. Listen, you ever heard this verse? The same yesterday, today, and forever. Brother Joy Wampler preached Sunday night, tremendous, tremendous message Sunday night on revival. And he had a book with him, if you'll remember, it was on Percy Ray, the life story of Percy Ray, A Ray for God. In that book, if you read it, Percy Ray, and this ain't, Percy Ray was a mighty man of God, but he wasn't in the Old Testament. He lived in my lifetime and yours. Matter of fact, Mama told me the other day, and I didn't even know this, but we just had an honor day for Preacher Kerrigan, and I was down there talking to her the other day, and she told me that Brother Clifford and Jimmy Upton, young preacher boys, went to a meeting where Percy Ray was preaching. And the pastor called young preachers up to the front to give their name and whatever, and Preacher Kerrigan, young man, stood up and testified and got in the Holy Ghost and just preached a few minutes. And that's the first time Clifford and Jimmy ever heard or knew of a man by the name of Andrew Kerrigan. And from that service where Percy Ray was at, and God got on the preacher, that's how and why they went and found him to come be the pastor of this church. But Percy Ray, where Camp Zion is at in Myrtle, Mississippi, before it was started, he was walking and thumbing back when that was semi-safe to do, and ended up, and there's a big old field out there, and the Lord said, "All right, I want you to stop walking here." Spoke to his heart and said, "I want you to go out in that field and lay and pray." And he laid in that field all night long praying and reading his Bible, and it got dark. And he wanted to read his Bible, and it was dark, and he was praying and agonizing with God and said, "Lord, you told me to get in this field and pray, and I've been here for hours." And he prayed by his testimony, wanted to read his Bible, and God rained fire out of heaven, illuminated the night sky bright enough for him to read his Bible in that field. That ain't Old Testament. I'm simply saying he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. If he could do it for Solomon, if he could do it for Elijah, if he could do it for Percy Ray, he can do it for you, and he can do it for me. Amen. He's no respecter of person. And when he made an end of praying, the fire fell, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. I wonder what would happen. I ain't gonna have time to get in this book tonight, but I wonder what would happen. We've been in the book tonight. It's better than the other book. Another book's good, but it ain't as good as the book. But I wonder what would happen. And this is my challenge to you tonight. This is your homework assignment. Since school's starting back, I'll be the teacher and I will assign you a homework lesson. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 1. Y'all got your Bibles open still? I want you to go home, and on every time you pray this week, which should be every day. And the challenge a couple of weeks ago before we went out of town was simply this: pray more every day than you've been praying. How many of y'all remember that? How many of y'all done that? Don't raise your hand. How many of you will try to do better this week? Now you can raise your hand. Every time you go to your prayer closet or go to pray, read 2 Chronicles 7, verse 1. Meditate on it. Muse on it. After he made an end to praying, the fire fell, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. And we all started out tonight's service saying, "I'm interested in the glory of God. I want to experience the glory of God." Right? Okay. We've just dealt with a few simple. We haven't been in deep theology, not Brother Jackie. It's simple. But don't trip over the simplicity of what we dealt with tonight. When you go to pray, get your Bible out and either memorize that verse, but if you don't memorize it, at least, I ain't even tried to memorize it, but just reading over it several times today, I've got the gist of it. When he prayed and he made an end to his praying. Don't forget, you can't start there. You got to go start in chapter 6. You got to turn. You got to repent of your sin, get your sin right, confess to God, and get your heart right. Then pray. And pray fervently and pray on purpose, with purpose, and ask God for power. And when you and pray in faith, believing, and say, "Lord, my home needs the glory of God. My marriage needs the glory of God. If y'all gonna make it, you're gonna need the glory of God. We'll need the presence of God. Our children are getting ready to go back to these, and most have already went to these schools. I promise you, your children needs to be able to come home to a haven and to a sanctuary in your home to where they can come into, out of this world and into the glory of God. Amen. Where the fire of God has fallen and the sacrifice and the offerings that we've made, the fire of God comes down and licks that thing up and we have a meeting place with God. And I promise you, it will radically change our homes. It'll radically change our marriages, our children's life, and say, Lord, our churches, Lord, our church, Morningstar Baptist Church, needs the glory of God. Lord, we're praying and we're willing to pay and sacrifice and offer to you and pray. And we get done praying, we're expecting you, like you did for Solomon, like you did for Elijah, to send the fire, Lord. And let your glory fill this house. Because I've got family. I got a cousin right now who's dying. She's been in the hospital. She's my age. And she's done so much dope. Her heart's working less than 10%. She went to the hospital several times and they sent her home to die. Just right down the road. Under the shadow of this steeple. And she needs to be able to come into a place like this where the glory, where it ain't just a dry, dead service, but where she can come in and the God of heaven will meet her in power. And the glory of God will penetrate through her sin and through her hard heart. And I promise you this, the glory of God that's been bathed in prayer by His people, the glory of God can penetrate through the hardest of hearts, through the most sinful, wicked person's life. And that's the only hope our county and our town has. This town called Packlet, that's so immersed and just meth on every corner. And people are so hard and stone-faced that just having church like we've had church is not touching them. It ain't affecting them. They walk into a place like this and they walk out untouched. But I promise you, if we will be willing to turn, repent of our sin, get right with God and have God get attentive to our prayers and be willing and ready to hear us pray. And when we make an end to our prayer, He sends the fire down and radically changes this place and this church, and the glory of God fills this place. Oh, that's what Packlet needs. That's what South Carolina needs. That's what this country needs. That's what this world needs. So, I'm done. My time's up. But I close by saying this. People say this to me all the time. What happened to the church? I mean, them old-timers, the way they had church, why don't we see stuff like that no more? I've preached to you tonight. Why? So if we just had preachers like Percy Ray and like Preacher Kerrigan, like them men, but we could have the power of God. It's way less to do with men like Percy Ray and Preacher Kerrigan and way more to do with churches who are not praying. A prayerless church is a powerless church. And we're living in the darkest, most deceptive days we've ever lived in. And the church should be shining brighter than it's ever shined. If we're going to make a difference, what I've preached tonight is not optional. We do not have time left. God's hourglass is almost empty, and we ain't got time to be pointing fingers and saying, boy, they needed that. And I hope they got that message tonight. No, how about you leave tonight simply saying, not my brother, not my sister, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. We need the glory of God. Let's stand. God wants us to have His glory. God wants to fill His house with His glory. If my people, which are called by my name, shall pray and humble themselves and seek His face and turn from their wicked ways, then. Father, we come to You in Jesus' name. Thank You, Lord, for Your word. Thank You, Lord, for Your house. Lord, Your house should be different, should be set apart, sanctified. Lord God, has been dedicated to You. Lord, this is Your house. God, I'm thankful for it. Lord, I'm thankful for Your house. I'm thankful for Your people. I'm thankful for Your word. But, oh God, we've got so cold and indifferent. Learn how to play church, God. Got satisfied. Oh God, I've got satisfied, content, Lord, with how things are, God. And we're so powerless, Lord. We're so ineffective. While sinners are dying and going to hell all around us, Lord. Many of our friends, many of our family will die and go to hell because we would not get serious with You. Because we had things we were not willing to turn loose of. Because we wouldn't pray, seek Your face, Lord. God, because we've not been willing to pay the price that the fire of God would fall and that Your glory would fill the temple. I pray in Jesus' name, God, that You'd forgive me. Lord, I have not been what I should be. Lord, I've failed You, God, miserably. Oh, God, I've done so much half-hearted and expected Your glory to fall. God, forgive me. Lord, with my whole heart, with my whole soul, I plead with You, Lord Jesus, forgive me. I plead the blood of Jesus over my own heart, my own cold, indifferent heart, Lord. Families are in the balance. Children, oh God, are in the balance. Some hanging on for dear life. Some marriages, Lord, teetering on failing. Give us a church that cares. Oh God, give us a church that cares enough to pray that Your power would fall. May the fire of God fall here at Morningstar. God, I beg of You. Oh God, my kids, my girls, Lord, they need to experience the power of God, the glory of God. Oh God, I don't want to rock my children to sleep in an average Baptist church. I want them to experience the presence and power of God, the glory of God. God, would You send the fire in Jesus' name? Have Your way, Lord. These altars are open. People are praying. If you need the altar, you come. We have time to pray. Would you come? As she prays, would you come? Are you? Don't leave the same way you came. Would you come? You come. Yes, Lord. Touch, Lord. Amen, Lord. Amen. If our church is spirituality was exactly how Yours is, what kind of church would we have? If our church prayed just like You pray, how many prayers would be answered? If the glory of God falling depended on You and how serious You are with Him, would it fall? Can the families that I've mentioned tonight, can they count on You to pull with all Your power in prayer, to plead the blood of Jesus off of them, to keep the devil away from them? Would you pray? Would you get serious with God? Do business with God? These are praying. You do business with God. Amen. Amen.